Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to have another opportunity to join you today. Today we're going to do it a little bit different. The message that I wanted to share with you so touched my heart that I shared it with the church in Bloomington on our Wednesday night prayer service. So what I'm going to do, instead of just repeating myself, I'm going to play part of that message tonight or today, and then I will finish it up on Friday. So I pray that it would be a blessing, and I pray that it will come through clear enough. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
With Psalm 78 in verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old." When we look at these statements, a parable is just a simple story that Jesus would tell to the people. The story itself was very easy to understand. The spiritual principle that he was trying to teach, many times they did not really understand. Sometimes the Pharisees would say, "Ah, he's talking about us." But other times the disciples would have to go off to the side and ask him, "What did you mean by that?" To us, these things are easy to understand because we've got the advantage of man looking into these sayings for 2,000 years. Okay, when it says a dark saying of old, what it's talking about is there are prophecies within the Old Testament that man would prophesy, the prophets would prophesy, but the Bible says they really didn't even understand what they were prophesying about. It said man would look at these things and desire to understand what does this mean, but they could not understand. And the reason being is the light had never shone upon that portion of Scripture for mankind. There would come a day when God would desire to manifest the understanding to these scriptures, and what he would do is he'd shine a light upon it. It's kind of like us looking at a book in the dark. It doesn't matter how much you strain your eyes, if there's no light, you can't read the book. Okay? It doesn't matter that you can read. It doesn't matter that it's written in English, if that's what your language is. What matters is there's no light to illuminate our eyesight, okay? So it comes to a certain point in time, and then God will allow that. When we go, if you go with me in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, it says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are in a spiritual battle against spiritual powers, principalities, dominions. And when I look at this, there is a battle going on in the spiritual dimension, okay, that many times people are unaware of what is actually going on. When I wrote these scriptures down, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what I want to look at is there is a within the Gospels, there is this understanding about this warfare that was going to come against Jesus the Christ. Okay, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13, "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." What was understood in the spiritual dimension is this young child was the Messiah to be, okay, the demonic realm. And you notice when Jesus himself would confront the demonic forces, they knew who he was, amen, you know, and they knew the power that was invested in him. So from the very beginning, they stirred up, and what this was, they stirred up political powers, Herod, a kingdom, and desired to destroy Jesus. Mark 11:18, "And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. So not only in the political realm, but in the religious realm, there was this desire to destroy Jesus the Christ. And we recognize there were spiritual forces working behind the scene to motivate these people to do this. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. The things he said, the things he would do would stir up this anger within them. And their desire was, and remember, this is religious people. Their desire was to destroy him, remove him from the scene so he would have no influence on the people. And then in John 19 and verse 6, for the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. So they were enraged, driven by demonic powers, the desire to kill this man, Jesus Christ, and to have him crucified. And Pilate gives them the leave. It's fine. Go ahead and do this. Now, the question that we can ask is, when it is declared so clearly in the Old Testament prophecies that the Messiah would be rejected, he would be crucified, then why would Satan stir the hearts of the people to crucify him? Okay. So you look at this, what we're looking at is, if the Bible says when the Messiah comes, the way he's going to redeem mankind is they're going to crucify him, hang him on a tree. Okay. Now, if I'm the devil, I'm thinking this, that's one thing we don't want to happen. Amen? Because if that's what he's here for, and I want to thwart his plan, then I don't want that to happen. So I'm not going to stir these people up. Basically, we just let him go, okay? But then when we look at this, we come back to this point about the dark sayings of old, okay? Paul would refer to these as mysteries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this. Excuse me. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Excuse me. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay. So what's that scripture telling us? What it's telling us is this. The Pharisees did not understand that the Messiah would be crucified. And this may be hard for people to understand, but the devils, they didn't understand it either. Although these things are written and they've been prophesied and the devils had heard them spoken, no doubt they had heard them read in the synagogue, they couldn't understand. And why is it? This is what God was talking about when he talked about the dark sayings of old. Until God desires to allow a person to understand or demonic power to understand, they will never understand. Okay. Peter, he said this, he said, which things angels desire to look into. So even the angels didn't fully understand what's taking place. Okay, they understood that this was the Messiah. They would protect him, but they didn't understand the full plan and purpose of God. Jesus said one time, he said, don't you understand, talking to Pilate, I could cry out to my heavenly Father and he sent 12 legions of angels. I don't doubt those angels were there at the ready. What is going to happen here is this going to be stopped? Because remember, there is a story in the Old Testament where Isaac almost died, but God stopped it before it got all that way. So the angels, they too are watching this situation, wondering what's going to take place. Okay. If you go into Acts chapter 8, and we'll start with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Okay. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Okay. Everybody understand who he's talking about? Okay. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Okay. So what you see in this eunuch is what the picture in the Old Testament was. The people would read these scriptures and not really understand who it's talking about. They didn't, you know, he says, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? You notice he didn't even say, is he talking about himself or is he talking about the Messiah? See, he didn't even make that connection that this is actually talking about the Messiah. So, and I think this is key to us understanding this. We fully understand because light has been shown upon the scripture. When I talk about light being shown, it actually talks about two different things. Until the Lord opened up their understanding to the scripture, there was not light on this scripture. Okay? Like we said, the scribes and Pharisees, hey, they were masters of the law. They didn't understand it. The demonic forces, the spiritual realm, they did not understand it. Let me tell you this, the apostles that walked closely with Jesus, they did not understand it. But when the Lord opens up the understanding, then light is shown, and now the understanding is given. Okay. Then the eunuch, he was not there when the understanding was given. Okay. But now that it's been opened up, man can take that light that they've been given, and they now can shine the light on it too. So when I see something, when I look into a scripture and I see something I've never seen before, it doesn't mean nobody's ever seen it before. Okay? It just means now is my time. And this is very important to understand. I think about this, Brother Lee. You can have the best what's the word I'm looking for? The best explanation why someone should come, that they can find peace in their life, But unless God illuminates that to their heart, it don't mean anything to them. That's why many times you can testify to people and they might even say, well, oh yeah, I'll come. Why are they saying? Because they, you know, they don't want to put you off, or maybe they're just putting you off. Okay. But when God illuminates it, that's what's different. Okay. So there's no preacher with the greatest ability to preach can really open up the scripture to you. They can be a tool that God will use to open up understanding, but it's God that brings the understanding, that brings the life, light. Okay. When we look at the ministry of Jesus, we're going to go through a couple points in time. Okay. In Matthew 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Okay. Important part in Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time forth. Okay. Up until this point of time, Jesus had not talked this way. They had recognized the miracles and the teaching and the anointing upon this man, and they believed he was the Messiah. But now, when he starts to talk this way, and like I said, the key is from that time forth. This is the beginning here in Matthew 16. This is the beginning of him starting to tell them about God's plan of redemption for mankind. When Peter heard it, it's like, Oh no, that can't be. You know why? Because he had never looked into the scriptures and saw it that way. When he looked into the scriptures about the Messiah, what they saw is the conquering king. They expected Jesus to ride into town, to throw off the Roman yoke, and set up the kingdom of David once more in the nation of Israel. So Peter said, Lord, this can't be. This way. It can't be that way. In the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they will all tell you these different times in this story. We're going to take it through Matthew, but I want to bring in a couple points in the book of Mark. This is the same picture that we just read in Matthew. It's Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Okay. Mark brings out something, and it's interesting because they believe that Mark's gospel is really the gospel of Peter. Peter had spoken these things to Mark, and Mark had written it down. He didn't say... He just mentioned it, or we heard him say this. He says he began to teach them. Okay. So that's more than just making a offhand comment. Oh, you know, they're going to kill me. It's not like that. He begins to instruct them and let them know that they are going to kill him. Okay. If we go to Matthew chapter 17, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. Okay. Here's the second time he's telling them, they're going to kill me. He also tells them, I'm going to raise from the dead. Okay. When they heard this, they were very sorry. Okay. It grieved them. Okay. So the first time you see Peter saying, no, Lord, that'll never happen. But this time, it has an impact upon them. They're sorry. Did they fully understand? I tell you, I don't believe they did. But the very idea that they're going to kill him, that's troubling, okay? And then in Mark chapter 9 and verse 34, we go back and notice how Mark tells the story again. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Okay. So again, it's making sure we understand this point that he is taking these men and he is teaching them about what is going to take place. Okay. It's going into some details. But then in verse 32, but they understood not the saying and were afraid to ask him. Okay. So although he's, you know, it's kind of like when we're teaching a Bible study and people's quiet, you don't know if they're catching what you're looking at or whether or not. And I think it's the same today. Sometimes people are afraid to say anything for fear that they might look foolish. Okay. That you might tell them, no, that's not right. So the apostles are listening to this. He's taking the time to teach them, but they're really not understanding what is going on. Okay.
All right. We will conclude today with this part, and we will continue on tomorrow. Forgive me for going a little bit long, much upon my heart. May the Lord bless you and give you a good day. Love in Christ Jesus. Amen.